blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 133, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Within thy temple, Lord, we think on mercies past. Let earth all praise accord, long as thy name shall last. In the righteous judgments of her King, let Zion and her daughters sing. 1, 2, and 3 of 133.
wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the Gospel according to Luke, from chapter 22. Before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 22, the first 23 verses. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing.
It is Nissa Kopilar that we remember in prayer, who hopes to receive surgery this Tuesday in Calgary. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, that thou may remember her, for she also does need thee, for the needs of her body, and that thou may guide the hands of the physicians in thy mercy, and that thou may be near unto her, for the fears they also will increase, When we are placed under the hands of physicians in this world, but these physicians are not able to protect our life. And we all fear for our lives, for thou hast made us in thy image. And we have sinned against thee, and we cannot die. We cannot appear before thee. Oh, that thou may bow her heart and the heart of her husband and family, that thou would watch over in thy mercy and bless the means to her recovery. But we also have read of thy own disciples who did tremble, and thou did speak, That the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And thou knowest how that the hearts of thy disciples then did quake and fear, for thou didst give to them a measure of self-knowledge. And they were acquainted as somewhat with what was possible from themselves. And thou knowest all thy people also in this hour when they are made to tremble for the knowledge that thou hast given them of themselves, because there is in us so much hypocrisy and so much self-deceit. We are not by nature honest with ourselves. We are not upright. But Lord, thou knowest Judas, he did not tremble. He did ask also, "Is it I?" And with a brazen face. O Lord, that thou may discern among us, and wilt thou keep us all, and by thy mercy and by thy grace, O bring thou and thy own trembling people to know thy own work, to perceive that it is from thee, and that they may be drawn by thee, that they who are truly invited by thee may be given that freedom from thee, also in this hour to do as thou dost command them to do, and to show forth in a public way. Then thou knowest the fears that can be also of man, and so much on the outside testifying against us, even as a Peter of old. But he could say, despite all that it seemed to be, "And Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. O give thy true church to lean upon thy knowledge, thy omniscience, to say, 'Search me, O God, and know my heart. Plead, judge me, O God of my salvation. Plead my cause, for thee I trust.' O give them a place in the knowledge of thee this hour, that they may act according to thy will, thy revealed will, and that thou may discern between him that feareth thee and him that feareth thee not. Wilt thou remember all the congregation? O Lord, thou knowest all the hearts. For there are those that do long for thee. Oh, they do desire that blessed portion. And Lord, then they do know and understand and that they do stand on the outside. And is it not now the first knowledge that thou dost give thy people, and that they are on the outside, and that they desire to be brought on the inside? And was it not that which thou didst teach Ruth of old, when she did say, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God? Or then she had yet to come to the knowledge of Boaz, and how that it could be that she could be made one of thy people, that it was only through that near kinsman, but those desires lived in her heart already, before she ever knew of him, before she had ever met him, before that she had ever heard of him. Oh, then it was one day that her hap was to come into his fields. It was her hap from her side, but it was no hap from thy side, for it was in thy eternal counsel. And thou didst reveal thyself unto her in that day. O Lord, remember all thy own. And wilt thou give that hope in thee, and that we do not have from ourselves, that we might know ourselves, and that we might know the impossibility from our side, that we might be come to the knowledge of thy dear and only begotten Son. O look upon all thy people, for there are those who do mourn and who do remember the days of old, the years of ancient times. Oh, they remember the days when they went up with joy with the multitude to the house of God. They do remember the times when thy word was so dear, and when thou wast so near. And then they must complain about themselves more and more, and that there is no fruit from this tree. And then the questions also can arise. O Lord, that thou may look upon those who do sit in captivity because of their own sin, and because we are able to sin it away, but we are not able to bring ourselves back again. But thou art able, and thou didst bring that prodigal to come to himself. Thou didst give him a true repentance, and thy people do say that we need it over and over again. Oh, to see my sin and to receive that true godly sorrow. Lord, then more and more we must experience that it all must come from thee, and that without thee we can do nothing, and from our side it is only death and destruction and judgment, and then we have to miss thee. But thy covenant is an everlasting covenant. It is ordered in all things and sure. And thou art the Alpha, but also the Omega. And thou art the beginning, but thou art also the ending. And that becomes the comfort of thy people in the Meshech of this life, that it may be so also in this day, and that thou may bring them by renewal with weeping and with supplications, and that thou wouldst draw to thyself even from a bed of sloth, if that is the way it is, from all the wretched conditions that we can bring ourselves in. O revive thine own work, Lord. In the midst of the years and in wrath, do remember mercy. Wilt thou give when there is no concern in our hearts? When we sit with a heart that is harder than another millstone. When we do sit in thy house. When we observe all these things. When we do look on with no desire, with no prayer, and desiring only for the amen, only that we may go out again, and that we might serve once again in the midst of this world. Oh, how deep is our fall, and when the blessings are laid out before us, when we may see the portion of thy blessed people, and when it does not touch our heart, oh, then we experience what our deep fall is, the depth of it, that we are dead in sin and in trespasses. Oh, that thou wouldst give life this day, that thou mayst send an arrow into the hearts, both of young and old together, and that there may be a holy jealousy born for that which we cannot miss while we are traveling to meet thee. Wilt thou give us strength, O Lord, and that we may be able to do thy work, and give us wisdom, give us clarity in our mind, simplicity, but may it be an unction from thy Holy Spirit, for we know not thy people, and we are but ignorant creatures, and we must bring thy word and administer thy sacrament. Oh, then there is nothing we can expect unless it comes from thee this hour. Oh, be thou then in the midst of us as one that serveth, keeping us from sin, keeping us from ourselves, and drawing nigh unto us, as thou dost sit at the right hand of thy Father in thy human nature, and dost look upon this earth also in this hour, when the tokens of thy human nature are laid out here as thou dost command, and when that bread shall be broken as thou wast broken, and when that wine must be poured out as thy blood was poured out. Oh, that thou who didst command this, that thou may look upon it as we do it in remembrance of thee. Oh, could it be with thy favor, with thy indispensable blessing, with thy felt presence, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter 163. beloved congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion read to you, Luke 22, and thereof the last portion of the 19th verse. Luke 22, verse 19, these words, "This do in remembrance of me." So far the words of our text. Christ's admonition to remembrance. First, the purpose of this remembrance, and second, the substance of this remembrance. Christ's admonition to remembrance, first the purpose, and second, the substance of this remembrance. "This do in remembrance of me." The Lord wants to be remembered. What is that to be remembered? To remember is to recall, to bring it to our mind, to bring it again to our consciousness, that we may think about it once again, to recollect. And what is the opposite of remembering? That is forgetting. The Lord complains about forgetting. "And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and forgettest him who hast made thee?" He admonishes to remembrance. He says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." How quickly we forget. That does not take long. That is happening already in the very days of our youth. When our memory is strong. But so we have been born. We have been born forgetting God. But we were not created forgetting God. No, we were created remembering Him. We were created with everything in our whole being, going out after Him with longings, with hungerings, and with thirstings. Our whole existence, all of our desires, all of our service, all the work of our hands, everything, our whole being, that was every moment in the remembrance of our Maker. There was no need for Adam to be admonished to remember God, because he did not forget him. What do you think of that? How would that be if we did not forget him? Would you like such a life, children, young people, fathers and mothers? Would we like such a life? Oh, when every moment of our life, when every thought of our mind, when every motive of our will, when every desire of our affections, that would always be for the Lord, after the Lord. Would you desire such a life? That forgetting. That forgetting is the sin of our existence. It is the sin of our being, of the wicked. David said, and that he thinks not upon God. And yet, the Lord thinks upon us every moment in his providence, upholding us in our being and providing for us every day. Does that now break your heart? No. Then there must be a hard heart. No. It must be a very hard heart. It must be a dead heart. No. That does not break under such thoughts. But that forgetting of God, that is not only our sin, that is also our misery, that is our spiritual death. Did you ever feel that? Did you ever grieve for that? Like Paul, who said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, is peace. This do in remembrance of me. Who says that? That is the Lord Jesus. He says that unto his disciples. Thus, even of his church, the Lord says that they have forgotten me days without number. Thus, what is that about? That is not about the creation, but that is about redemption. Redemption. Thus, the crime is aggravated. The offense that becomes deeper. Of that chief butler, we read, yet did he not remember Joseph when he was delivered, but he has gone on to enjoy all the benefits of his restoration. My people. My people have forgotten me days without number after they were delivered, after the Lord brought them out of that land of Egypt, after he delivered them from death, from destruction. David felt that sin of forgetfulness. What did he say? He says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Does your soul cleave unto the dust? Do you mourn? Do you grieve because your soul cleaves unto the dust? David complained about this. David mourned for this. This was a burden to David. Is that also our burden? A flesh lusting against the spirit? Because we cannot do the things that we would. Forgetting. Forgetting is the sin of the church. And yet, we read in God's word that the Lord is so pitiful. That he is so full of compassion. And that he knoweth that we are dust. Thus, before that remnant, that redemption that he was going now to do, before that redemption was even complete, the Lord has instituted something that would be for the benefit and for the help of his weak people. Knowing all the temptations of their flesh that is here below. He was going away from them with his bodily presence. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Was he not going to remain with them? Always. With his majesty, with his Godhead, with his grace, with his spirit. He is never more absent from his people. But that flesh. That flesh, because he prayed to his father and he says, I come to thee. I am no more in the world, but he says, these are in the world. And he prayed not his Father that he would take them out of the world, but that he would keep them from that evil. Thus, he knoweth that we are dust. And for that reason, he says, This do in remembrance of me, that is as an help to all of your infirmities, an institution, a holy supper with carnal helps against the sin of forgetfulness, but also against the misery of forgetfulness. While this mortal has not yet put on immortality, while this corruption has not yet put on incorruption, an institution to prevent more sin, to prevent more guilt, and to raise out of that dust of a carnal cleaving to all that is in this world, to raise the thoughts and the hearts unto him who is sitting at the right hand of God. When is the church closest to heaven? When are they closest to heaven in the world? That is, when Christ is revealed to them by his Father. And when are they second closest? When they may remember it. When they may bring it back once again into their consciousness. Or when the Lord comes back upon it. This do in remembrance of me. Christ desires to be remembered continually by his own people. Why? For their good. Yes, for their good. Also for his own good. For his own honor. For his own glory. For the glory of himself. For the glory of his Spirit. For the glory of his Father. For a salvation that was thought out by his Father. For a salvation which was bought by himself. For a salvation that was wrought by his own Spirit. And for a redemption that is the work of a triune God. If that creation is glorious, and he would be remembered as the Creator, how much more his redemption, and that he will be remembered as the Redeemer, wherein his grace, wherein his mercy is glorified in the heart of his people. Creation didn't know that. Creation knew nothing of grace. Creation knew nothing of mercy. There was nothing to be forgiven. There was nothing to be redeemed. There was nothing to be washed. There was nothing to be cleansed. And God could not be known. He could not be known. Say he could be known in the mind. He could not be experienced because there was no misery. And so Adam, before the fall, did not have the opportunity to know God in his fullness, to know God as he truly is. We do not say blessed fall, no. Oh, no. Because how many will experience to all eternity that that fall is not a blessed thing. No, to all eternity, to experience that that fall was an act of rebellion, and that that fall is an act of sin. But for now God to find a way, for God to find a way to forgive sin and to remain just, oh, that is a wonderful thing, is it not? That is a wonderful thing. Did we now ever experience that? What a God that is, who can do such a thing, who can be righteous, who can be just, who can be holy, and at the same time be merciful. At the same time, be gracious. Oh, did that question ever live in your heart concerning that justice of God, that you say, how is it now possible for me? Because God does not look through his fingers at sin. No. How is it now possible? Because God's justice that must be satisfied. Oh, that is now the reason that Christ says, this do in remembrance of me. This do, what do? That is our second thought, the substance of this remembrance. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This do. Break bread. Pour wine. And remember. Remember what? That they are symbols. And that they are signs. Of what? Of my body, my broken body, of my blood, of my poured out blood. Will you remember that? Remember what? Well, remember in the first place that God is just, that he is so just that he did not spare his own son, his only begotten, of him whom he said, this is my beloved son. And there was sin laying on him. Sin laying on him. Sin imputed unto him. And he did not spare him. Oh, will you remember that? Will you remember that, congregation, this hour, when in a few moments, and then we hope to see that, and that bread that will be broken. And when that bread now is broken, will you think about that? Will you remember that? That the breaking of that bread, that means something. That the breaking of that bread, that is speaking about the justice of God. Oh, that the breaking of that bread, that means that there is not one sin that the Lord is going to look over. That the breaking of that bread, that means that God will have his justice satisfied. Will you remember that? Or will you remember that if God spared not his only begotten Son, or will you think about that then in this hour? Oh, then will you think to yourself a moment and say, then why do I think, why do I expect that he is going to spare me? If he did not spare his only begotten Son, who was in himself so holy and so righteous and so good, but because of sin imputed unto him. Oh, if he did not spare him, will you think about that? Will you remember that in these moments, that there is coming a time that your body and that will have to be broken? Do this in remembrance of me. The Lord said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did he not do it? Is the Lord not true? Have you ever found him a liar? Anything in the whole word of God that he has spoken that he is not fulfilling and that shall not come to pass? Or will you do this in remembrance of him? Oh, there is a church that remembers this. They remember those matters. No, it is not the same every day. But there is a church that remembers this when the Lord has bound this upon their heart, that they cannot die, that they cannot appear before God. Then they have seen a little bit of his justice. Then they have experienced that that justice will not pass over them. No, it will not pass over me. Even though I go to church, even though I pray, even though I read God's word, even though I listen to the sermons, oh, that justice. Oh, they have remembered these things. They have seen a little bit of their own worthiness. They have realized that their own worthiness of judgment and of condemnation, that is even more than they know. That their sin is higher than they realize. They have feared the court. They have trembled to come into God's presence. Oh, when that bread is broken, will you remember this? Because they are called also to remember this again. Again this day, to bring it, to recall it to their mind, to recollect it. And when that wine that is poured out, oh, that they may do it in remembrance, and that they themselves so deserve, that their blood, that their life would be gone. But that is not everything. That is not all that they are called to remember. What an awful meal that would be. When we had only to remember that these things are pointing to that justice of God. Oh, what an awful way it is for that people. When they have no sight, when there is no view of a way open, and when they see nothing but death, nothing but condemnation. Oh, then that sky that is black with darkness, as the Israelites have seen it at Mount Sinai, then they have trembled at that justice of God. But, then there are also words. Then it is not only a breaking, and it is not only a pouring out, but then there are also words that are spoken by him, by which he does explain that he says, this is my body. This is my body, which is given for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. That's what does he speak about? What is that supper about? Oh, Christ, he shows unto his people that he is their substitute. That what he goes forward to do is a work that is an atoning work. That he is going to stand in their place. That with all that he will do, It is going to be for the purpose that it will not be done unto them. And then he says, I assure you of this, that when I go there to stand in that judgment, and when that judgment, that sentence is spoken, and when I am condemned, and when I am raised upon that tree, and when they pierce my hands and my feet, and when they run a sword into my side, and when there comes out blood and water, and when I give up the ghost, or when I bow my head, or when life is drawn away, then it is, he says, as a work of the substitute. And he says, I give you a seal of this. A seal. You know what a seal is, right, children? Young people, a seal. Little raised portion, then a picture on it. And thus he says, I give you, my people, the seal. Now there is a picture on it. This broken bread and this poured out wine. That is now my seal, wherein I seal my own work by my own authority. And I give you this institution myself. I assure you that it is so with my own sacrament. I assure you that I have accepted myself the justice, and that I have asked my Father that He will bring it upon me, and that He will spare you. Oh, and my Father has agreed to this. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a wonder? All that is an act of the good pleasure of God, the Father. He did not have to do that. That He would accept the payment of Christ, of a substitute. But Christ, He says, I was willing to do it. And with that seal, He assures them that His Father was also ready and willing to receive it. This too. In remembrance of me, oh, I would that my people, my fearing people, would always remember me, who do tremble at my justice, the Passover. What kind of a meal was that? The Passover. That was a meal of remembrance. Fearful night. Fearful night. Right, young people? Who are the firstborns? Are you the firstborn in your family? Fathers and mothers, are you a firstborn in your family? Where are our firstborns? What a fearful night. Because in that night, then the sword that was directed against the firstborn, was it ever directed against you? Trembling people, an angel of death that night. Oh, it was a night of shed blood. It was a time wherein that lamb was slain and that blood was caught in a basin. Oh, the necessity of that lamb, the necessity of that blood, because he was going for that firstborn. He was going to take the place. And now there was a third thing. And what was that thing? That was the application. Then it was necessary that that blood was applied to the lintel and to the doorposts of that home. Why? Because it was behind that blood. It was only behind that blood that there was safety and comfort. How was it that those firstborn slept in that night. How is that possible? Do you think you would have slept firstborn? Would you have closed your eyes? And would you have laid yourself down and gone to sleep? You say, my heart would tremble. But then there were those that slept. They slept. How did they sleep? They slept by faith. That was the only way. It was the only way. They slept by faith in the promise of God behind the blood that was applied, not just in the basin, but that was applied to the doorpost of that house. They were not strangers of that hope. Or they were not strangers of that rest. And now every year, the Lord said to his people, you must commemorate that again. You must bring that again unto your remembrance. What I have done for you. How that I have spared you. How that I have received that lamb in your place. And then the Lord Jesus brought that over. And that last Passover meal commemorated that Passover. And in the end of that Passover, instituting that holy supper of the Lord. And then the Lord brought that over into that New Testament, into that New Testament sacrament, saying unto his people that every time again that they may remember him because he is in heaven. You ever think about him there? Where he is on the right hand of his Father. Oh, how little that we think about him there. Is that not a shame? Forgetting him days without number. And then that people going on to enjoy the benefits of his restoration and the person. Oh, he is forgotten. Oh, the Lord says, no. No, no, my people. But do this. This do in remembrance of me. Amen. We will now have the form read for the administration of the Holy Supper.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. But on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as, namely, that we have not perfect faith and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh, yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner we are to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally, confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides, that we, by this same Spirit, may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another.
Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, and that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this Holy Supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with His body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 425, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Unto the Lord lift thankful voices, come, worship while your soul rejoices. Make known His doings far and near, and that peoples all His name may fear and tell in many joyful lay of all His wonders day by day. 1, 2, and 3 of 425. say ye that I, the Son of Man, am? And we have come, congregation, not to the beginning, but to the end of a week of preparation. And that Holy Supper of the Lord is now opened, and the invitation goes out in our midst to show forth the death of the Lord till he come, and to do this in remembrance of me. And then it is that question that we have laid before you, which is that all-important question, whom say ye, and that I, the Son of Man, am? Because when we are born into this world in a natural way, then we are born as sons and daughters of Adam, and we read in God's Word the truth about ourselves, that there is no form and no comeliness in the Son of God. But it becomes different under the work of God's Spirit, so that the bride did say, and that he is altogether lovely. Is he altogether lovely unto you? Because that is now the question. And those are they who are called forth to show his death at this time. And then how has it become so that he has become altogether lovely unto you? Was that then revealed to you by flesh and blood, by your father, by your mother, by your instructor? Or was it revealed to you from his Father which is in heaven? You say, how do I know? Oh, you know. You know because a man, flesh and blood, does not bring us to an end of our own strength. Never. We fight to maintain ourselves. And so it is coming to the end of our own strength. It is the Lord who must bring us to the end of his law. It is the Lord who must cut off a man from a broken covenant. And that breaking, and that is evidence of the work of God's Spirit to lead a person unto his only begotten Son. Or has the Lord ever brought you then into such a place where you have come into the impossibility? Because without the impossibility, there is no wonder. No wonder. And Christ himself does not receive the glory. He does not receive the honor. And so we must ask ourselves that question, whether he has become precious unto us, whether he has become altogether lovely unto us by the working of his Holy Spirit, because the wonders of the Lord, they happen in the impossibilities of man. Did it ever now become impossible? Did you ever now see the darkness? Was that blackness something that you could not bring yourself out of? And did the Lord then ever open to you just that little hope? You say it was not much light, no. But when it was just a little, then it was great, because the blackness was great. And then there is hope. And then your heart has gone out after him, and when it has leaped for joy, because there was still a way, then there is expectation, and then he became suitable to you, to your case, and then he became precious unto you, and then he calls you. He says, do you remember this? Do you remember this? Then come, because that table is open, and he says, this do in remembrance of me. congregation are there no more, because there is yet place at the table of the Lord. And we know that a person needs to know Christ. Say, yes, I do not know Christ. That is true. There is much truth to that. Because if we do not know Christ, then how can we remember Him? But what does that mean? Those are big words, aren't they? That I know Him. There is so much to know of Him. And if we would ask God's children who have come to much, many years under the leadings of the Spirit of the Lord, and we would say to them, what do you know of Him? And then they would say, oh, I know so little of Him. Then it is not how much that we know of Him, but do we know something of Him, anything of Him, or do we know something of His grace? Do we know something of His mercy being made known unto us in our guilt, in our unworthiness? We can read of a woman. She came to the Lord Jesus, and she desired just to touch the hem of His garment, that no one would notice me, and she wanted to slip away again. And the Lord said, who touched me? Oh, He knew about it. Are there those that He knows about and who would like now just to slip away? That no one will see you? Then He says, do this in remembrance of me. Then we close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. remember and believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete remission of all our sins. Why self-examination? Because that is necessary for the sealing operation of the Holy Supper, the sacrament. If self-examination is not upright, then there can be no sealing. We cannot give that. That is the work of the Spirit of the Lord, but it is necessary that for that sealing work, that there be a consciousness of that uprightness within ourselves. Wherefore, because that sealing operation of the Spirit of the Lord is dependent on a promise of the Lord. And what now is that promise of the Lord? That is this: whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Whosoever hath. That is a wonder. Does not Paul say, what maketh us to differ? Because what have we received that we have not been given? Do we not feel that? Thus, whosoever hath, you say, well, what do I have? What do I have? I feel like I have nothing. I have sin. I have guilt. I have pollution. I have corruption. I have a carnal heart. Is that all you have? Do you not testify in these moments that you may remember hope? Hope. Even just a moment of hope, and that it has made him precious unto you? Do you have that? You say, I have lost that too, maybe. Is that then always gone? That hope, who gave you that hope? Did you give yourself that hope? Or is that a hope that was given to you by your Father? And what was that hope for you? Was that hope not everything for you when you were in self-despair? Was that not then all for you? You say, I could not give it to myself. That was given to me of the Lord. And now what does the Lord say? Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. I give only unto my own. And when I begin to give, then I will finish that giving. Not just a little bit, no. But I will give much. I will give everything. I will give, it says, and have more abundance, not all at once. That giving that begins a little bit. And in this life, one given more and another given less. But in the end, all given everything. Thus, he says, here is my pledge. Here, with this institution, here is my pledge for you, this do in remembrance of me. Do you then remember hope? Do you remember him? in that hope upon whom you did. Do you remember love? Do you remember faith? Believing for just a moment? Do you remember joy? Do you remember relief? Do you remember a burden and that was lifted from you? That was, he says, given unto you from my Father. And now he says, this then is my body, which is given for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Then he says, all is for you. Everything. Why? Well, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will finish it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It is upon that promise that that sealing work of the Lord is working, because there is no separation between the work of the Spirit and the work of Christ, and there is no separation between the work of Christ and the work of his own Father. They are all one. Thus, he says, when I have begun, I will also make an end. That work that is mine, I will own, and I will never forsake the work of my own hands. That is the promise upon which that sealing of the Spirit is working within the sacrament of the Lord. And thus he says, this is my body, which is given for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. For everything, everything, he says, for you. All. And now what is left? It is only to begin to perceive what is contained in this broken bread, to begin to perceive what is contained in this poured out wine, the abundance that the Lord is showing and giving unto his people through his sacrifice, a broken body, what we deserve. He says, that will never happen. He says, it is finished already. I have done it for you, and blood poured out, what we deserve, our life, because blood, that is our life. Do you fear for it? Do you fear for your life? He says, oh, he says, you do not need to fear. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because what I have begun, I also will finish. Thus, there is a right, that he has given. That is part of the abundance. And they shall have abundance, a right unto eternal life, and a washing, a cleansing, the desire of your heart, unto an eternal righteousness the Lord give, and that we may continually remember, because forgetting, that is not pleasing to him. But to remember, that is pleasing to him. And when the soul may go out to him to remember that justice and to remember the fulfillment of that justice, to remember the pouring out of that blood and water and to receive the washing from that blood and water, the Lord give us more and more to be instructed in the abundance, as he says, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Let us sing Psalter 159, stanzas 2 and 3, and afterwards the communicants may return to their seats. In thee my soul hath shelter found, and thou hast been from foes around the tower to which I flee. 2 and 3 of 159. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord, from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 407, all the stanzas. O praise ye the Lord, and sing a new song. Amid all his saints, his praises prolong. 1 through 4 of 407. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.